Let's now turn our attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 31 through 47 to begin with. Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'm going to begin at verse 31 of that chapter. Hear now God's amazing word written for the benefit of his people and those who believe in his every word. Beginning the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith to them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." May God bless the perspicuous word that we have heard from Jesus this morning. Again, Heavenly Lord, we pray that you would bless us. Keep us in your sight always. Hold us near and dear to your heart. Heavenly Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless your word to us. Amen. I want to speak this morning of something that has been debated to this day in the church. We can say, in a colloquial way of speaking, it's been debated, discussed forever, and it's still discussed today in the church. And I don't think I'm going to resolve the matter. I couldn't resolve the matter with one sermon or two or three. But hopefully I will at least make a clear path for all of us With a question or two that remains after a bit. And I'm talking about the topic or the subject of lying. Yeah. L-Y-I-N-G, lying. And I want to make it clear and simple as possible. It's not. But I want to do that. And with God's help, I will this morning, for it is my desire not to say a word untrue. Right? I have mentioned this before. Everything I say here in the pulpit is true and absolutely true and wholeheartedly so. And if I do have a question or it's not clear to me, I'll mention that to you. Now, there might be an unclear thing or two about this morning's message. Not this evening, I don't think, but this morning, yeah. And I'll mention that along the way. So I want to lay some foundation here first. I talk just a little bit about the problem. Lying is a problem in the world. There's a problem with lying in the world. Then I want to go to, there's a problem with lying in the church. I want to go to that and what the difference is there. Then I want to say, the truth be told, and just quote some scriptures and then come to a conclusion. Scriptures concerning lying from Proverbs and Psalms and elsewhere, and then to come to some conclusion about it. So there's those four things. It's important. It's a big topic, and like I said, it's been discussed forever in the church, and it's not going to be resolved anytime soon, but it needs to be. You need to be clear about it. You need to know about this, and I know you do. But hopefully you'll learn a little bit. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the problem lying in the world and to the world. And I'm taking this from an article I read. It was in U.S. News and World Report, an 8-page feature article written in 1987. That's over 20 years ago, right? 30 years ago. It's about 30 years ago. 87, 97, yeah, about 30 years ago. And it's truer now than it was then, but it was certainly true then. Now, this is an article in a secular news and a world report back in February. Of all months, right? February 1987. The title of this article was A Nation of Liars, and the subtitle, Government Officials Dissemble. Dissemble means to conceal the truth, right? Government officials dissemble. Scientists falsify research. Just recently, not too long ago, a few years ago, NASA was caught red-handedly fudging data. NASA fudging data to promote global warming. You didn't hear about that, did you, in the news and all that? But it's there. You can look it up on Google it or whatever. NASA caught red-handedly fudging data to support global warming, which is not happening. But they say, research says it is, liars. Workers alter career credentials to get jobs. And the article concludes that honesty is on the decline. Honesty in government, in business, on television, wherever. It goes on in this article to say, to add that people lie in their income tax returns, students lie in their applications for financial aid, Companies lie in their commercials aired over TV and radio. Doctors lie to their patients. Welfare recipients lie to social agencies. Criminals lie to judges, courts, and probation authorities. Lawyers lie in defense of their clients in court. Students cheat on test exams and homeworks. And the list goes on and on, 8 pages. Not all of lying, but 8 pages to convince that this is a nation of liars. Every level of society, strata of society, liars, defines the place. And it's certainly no better today than it was back in 1987 when this article was written. And they, in the article, they say they say that the cause of this, or partly the cause of this, is the education system, the moral decline of education. In other words, education doesn't teach morality anymore, certainly not true or right morality. Yeah, it teaches that homosexuality is good, right, and that you're evil if you oppose it. They teach that abortion is okay and for any and every reason, and if you oppose it, that's evil, but their morality is perverse, right? It's perverse. It's twisted. It's backwards. As Isaiah said, they're calling good evil and evil good in his day. Well, that's what they're doing in our day as well. Again, all based on the lie. They're full of the lie, and that's what they do. By nature, that's what they do. Government does it. You know, isn't it common parlance? It's in common parlance that politicians lie, right? People say that just rolls off their tongue. In a matter of fact, like, you know, all politicians, I can't believe them, right? Can't believe any of them. That's what they say. Now, it's true. It's not an exaggeration. They all lie. Every one of them. So, it's pretty bad. What's going on? That's the problem in the world. Now, we're called out of this world, right? Well, one of the ways we're called, we're in the world but not of the world, one of the ways we're not of the world is we do not lie. We speak the truth. We're called to speak the truth in love and lie not, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another. Do not lie. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, and don't go beyond that. You don't need to because you tell the truth. You're honest about all things. Especially God. Especially His Word. Right? So, that's pretty simple. But wait a minute. See, the problem has come up in the church. Well, wait a minute. Rahab lied. Right? Rahab the harlot. The prostitute, the whore, Rahab lied to protect the spies of Israel that were spying out the land of Canaan for the Israelites. Among them were Joshua and Caleb. She lied to protect them to the authorities that came and said, where are the spies? And she sent them the other way. And God, in the Word of God, she's commended twice in Hebrews and in James. Commended by God for lying about the spies, protecting them. What about that? How about the midwives that lied to protect the babies, the children, the babies in Israel from Pharaoh, killing all of the Israelite children? The midwives lied to protect Moses and the rest. And they, the scripture tells us in Exodus, were blessed of God. What about that? And then there was the woman Bahurim. She lied to the servants of Absalom when Jonathan and Ahimeaz, bearing a letter from Hushi to David to protect him, she lied in order to protect these servants to deliver a message to David, who is to be the king that unites Israel and Judah, the man after God's own heart. She was blessed. What about that? That's just three examples from Scripture of people who lied and were commended and blessed of God. So you see, it's not that simple, is it? Now, are there exceptions to the law of God? Well, there's some laws, yes, there are exceptions, clear exceptions, and others there are not. There are no exceptions, I think, to the first three commandments, to have no other God, to bring no other God in place of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are not to bow down and worship idols. I don't think there's any exception to those. There's no idol worship that's permitted. There's no bringing another God into the presence of God. And to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Right? There's no exception. You take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, whomever you might be. There is no exception. You are condemned. Certainly are judged to sin and in need of repentance. Are there exceptions to the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy? Yes, there are. Remember, in the Old Testament, the priest, it was argued the priest desecrate the Sabbath day. You know, they had to do a lot of work, cutting up those animals and all this, and making the sacrifices. The priest desecrate the Sabbath day, the scripture says, and are guiltless before God. An exception. Right? We recognize that there are exceptions to the keeping of the Sabbath day. I work on the Lord's day, and I am guiltless before the Lord. If you do it, you're not. Such is the case. There's exception there. Is it ever right to commit adultery or fornicate? I don't think there is any exception to that one, is there? Even if it's your own son or daughter that loves the other person all so much, come on, they live together, they shack up. Well, that's a clear violation. I don't think there's any exception to fornication or to adultery. Is there an exception to killing? Thou shalt not kill? Yeah. In war? Self-defense? Exceptions, clear exceptions. The Bible recognizes there are exceptions to that. We just talked about three exceptions to lying. Is there an exception to stealing? It's a hard one. Think about it. How about coveting? Thou shalt not covet anything. There is an exception. I covet your prayers. I covet the Lord's blessing. Desire, I want them. But anything else is a sin. So you see, there are some exceptions to the rules the Bible makes clear. But this exception, we're coming back now to the lie. So the church has a problem here. It has to talk about an exception. Certainly if I defend myself and the person against whom the defense is enacted gets killed because I'm defending my family or defending myself in a battle there, I'm not held guilty for God. Am I? If I go to war, it's a righteous war, have to kill someone. The police are in a showdown with a murderous terrorist or some horrible person and have to shoot him dead? Are they guilty? Murder? Of course not. What about lying? Can I lie to you? Can I ever lie to you? Can I stand in this pulpit and purposely lie to you, knowingly lie to you, and tell you an untruth in the name of Jesus Christ and be guiltless? Of course not. They do that in all kinds of churches, evangelical churches to this day, preaching Arminianism, which is a lie, right? Doctrine from the pit of hell. That's why they call it that, our fathers. Because it's a lie. It's not true. You are saying that Christ teaches this when he doesn't. A lot of the churches that your family and friends go to, they're lying. Now, they don't purpose to lie. It's not a malicious lie. You know, they've been indoctrinated into this. They don't understand it's a lie. In most cases, some do. This is serious business, isn't it? This is not a joke. We need to be as clear-minded as we possibly can. Is there an exception for me to lie? Well, not about God. You see the problem. How about this? The Nazis have invaded my land, the Netherlands. As a downed airman, some Jews seeking refuge in my place. I have a place for them to go, to hide. I hide them. The Nazis come. And they say, are you housing or protecting or hiding any Jews or downed airmen? What am I going to tell them? Oh yeah, they're down there. Kill them all. Let the Lord sort them out. Or am I going to lie? I would probably lie. I admit, I would lie. If I could hide them and protect them, take a chance getting away with it, I'd lie. But I'm not going to call it anything but a lie. I'm not going to say, well, it's not really a lie, like some author in a book gave two examples, and one of them was such a case where the person was hiding someone, a downed air pilot or airman somewhere, and they came, and the troopers came, stormtroopers as they were called back then, and asked, are you hiding this person? Or hide? He was in the area and he came around here. Are you hiding? Oh, he said, no, I'm not hiding a downed airman. And the rationale that later was written about him is that, well, he wasn't really lying. It wasn't a lie because it wasn't just simply a case of the downed airman. This man was quivering and shivering and shaking the bowl of jelly, so to speak. So it wasn't necessarily a lie to say, well, no, I'm not hiding a downed airman. I'm hiding a quivering, shaking, flesh and blood mass. Oh, come on. Really? That's a lie. Or the farmer that has a visitor there that's inspecting the place and the crops are dying for lack of moisture, lack of rain, and then all of a sudden it starts to drizzle, but it's a light rain. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to save the crop. It's not going to help. And the visitor says, oh, it's raining. The farmer says, no, it's not. And the farmer, it's rationalized that he's telling the truth because the rain wouldn't help the crop to grow anyway, and it's going to be destroyed. So he's not really lying about it. It's not rain. It's not sufficient rain. Yeah, it's raining. It's drizzling. So we're not going to play that game. We're going to call a lie a lie. That's what I've been telling you all along. If you break the Sabbath, for example, which is a perfect commandment to use because everybody does it, and everybody lies about it. No, I'm not breaking the commandment. I have this excuse and I have that excuse. I have this reason and I have that reason. It's not really a breaking of the Sabbath. Well, come on. Not only are you breaking the Sabbath, now you're lying about breaking the Sabbath. And then you make excuses why sports people or your kid or your whatever who has to attend a sport event or that's not breaking the Sabbath day, right? And so not only do you break it and teach your child to break it, but you also lie about it on top of it. I'm telling you, don't do that. Admit what you do. Don't lie. Now, some things are unclear and some things are debatable and okay. But we can be honest about that and say, hey, look, this is a controversial thing, right? This is a subject that we need to discuss further. I'm listening, I'm hearing you, but I'm not yet agreeing. That's different. You might be wrong, and it's still a sin to be wrong in the name of Christ, but it's different. You're not malicious about it. You're not trying to perpetrate an evil by lying on top of sin, by denying your own sin. And so the subject of lying that the world has and that the Christians have, you need to tell the truth. And to tell you the truth, what is it? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father. So to agree with any other person that says any other thing or any other way is a way to God. And to agree with that is, of course, a lie, right? So the whole world is lying about that. Now, I just want to, this gets philosophical, theological, but I want to make it as simple as possible. Jesus thought about it. I am the truth, right? God is the truth. So, reality is truth. Truth is reality. Falsehood is not real. I mean, it happens. People lie and people tell falsehoods and all. But reality is truth. Because God is true. And so what God did is he created the creation in the beginning. And he revealed himself through the creation in many ways. Not obviously not in every way, but in many ways he revealed himself through the creation, all the things that they created, right? Adam naming the animals according to their nature. In other words, God cannot lie. God is only truth. He only speaks the truth. He only teaches the truth. So when he created everything, it was an expression of himself in so many different ways. And so it had to be true. What's happened is that man denies God. Man denies creation. Well, who was the first one who called God a liar? Satan, right? Satan said to Eve, the devil said to Eve, that God's a liar. He said that you will not surely die. But in the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good, and in that day you will become as gods, knowing good and evil. And he called God, in essence, a liar. And that's when it all began. He's the father of lies, as Jesus said here in the Gospel of John. And that's what when he speaks the lie, he speaks his native tongue. And so everyone, I don't care who they are, who rejects creation, which is an expression of the truth of God in so many different ways, but rejects creation, rejects God, therefore they're lying. Scientists and doctors and lawyers and politicians and educators, whomever, they are lying because God, who is true, created everything according to his own will, it revealed something about him. But you're saying this doesn't. This creation and that creation, this aspect of creation, doesn't reveal the creator. It reveals something else. It reveals evolution. It reveals aliens have planted something on the earth or whatever. You see, that's a lie. And it's all over the place. It's in schools. It's everywhere. And so the lie is being promoted. It's a part of the fabric of society. And since Adam and Eve lied and were kicked out, they accepted the liar and they denied God. They were kicked out of the garden. They now are part of an earth that's full of the lie, a fallen place. And every one of their children is born a liar. They've accepted the lie. They've committed a falsehood. They agreed with Satan as opposed to God. They agreed with the lie. They were fallen, and now all their children. Do you have to teach a child to lie? As soon as they're old enough, they're going to lie. Protect themselves, their interests, whatever. You do not have to teach a child to lie. What you have to teach a child is to tell the truth. And that's like trying to teach a plant to grow in the ground instead of towards the sun. It's opposed to every fiber of their being, apart from grace. A child by nature is born in the lie. And will lie. And every parent knows that. You can catch that child with his hand or her hand in the cookie jar. That's not my hand. I mean, lie and deny. That's what they do by nature. You don't have to teach them. But God says we need to. We need to teach them that lying is wrong. And I just want to just read a couple of scriptures before we make conclusion here. Moses said, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." Leviticus 9, verse 11. Wise Solomon said, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with your lips. In the truth and the lie, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies." And it goes on and on. Lying, according to the scriptures, on every level, in every strata of society, whether you're a politician or whatever, telling a lie is abominable to God. Bearing false witness is an abomination to God. Lying one to another, leading people astray, whether it's with your own words face to face or on Facebook or the internet, in an email, whatever, is a sin, is a terrible sin. Are there exceptions? In the case of Rahab, in the case of the midwives, in the case of that woman, what do you think? Does that justify my lying? They were placed in the line or the flow of redemptive history. They were placed there to preserve the line that led to Jesus Christ. They were commended of God. They lied. Scripture doesn't deny that they lied, but God used them for their life for a purpose, which was to bring about Christ, to save a generation, a line of generation that led to Christ. They were placed in that. Can you and I say the same thing? That if I lie, even if it's to protect that down pilot, that I'm protecting the line of generation, the elect of God, that this down pilot's going to have a baby that's going to become a great Charles Spurgeon or something like that. And therefore, I don't have a scripture to support that. Maybe. Maybe God's going to use my lie. But you have to be real careful about that. So I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to say, with other Christians, say, all lying, without exception, is wrong. There are exceptions in the scripture, but that's in the course of redemptive history. There's nothing in the Bible that says ordains my lie to be protected because of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. I can't point to a scripture, a single scripture that condones it. Will I lie in certain instances? Yes, I would, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. I'm a liar at that moment. Forgive me, Lord, for I did it to protect a life. I did it for the cause of Christ. I may be mistaken. And if so, forgive me. But do not make excuses anymore. Just think, lying in every instance is wrong. I have no scripture to support my lie. Maybe you do for Ahab or for the midwives. But I don't have a scripture to support my lie. So don't lie about anything to anyone. But and if you do, repent. And you will be forgiven in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, bless us. Help us. As we seek to understand the scriptures and apply the scriptures to our lives, it's not so easy in a fallen place. We know in heaven there's going to be no lie there, no need to lie, no propensity to lie, proclivity to or desire. Everything's perfect. But in this place, Lord, it is just, we can't get out of sinning. But we pray and ask you for the mind of Christ that we may avoid more and more the sin that so easily besets, and protect us from the lie and from lying. In your name, we pray. Amen.